Today we honor Our Lady of Guadalupe. There's an image of her over there. I also have a smaller one here. It's a little bit clearer. That one's kind of faded. I have never been to Guadalupe in Mexico, but I'm told that the original image is still very, very bright and colorful. Maybe more like this one. It's a beautiful feast. It has a lot to tell us. I'd like to start with a kind of liturgical perspective, because this is an Anahuim shrine and we follow the liturgical life. I think Father Francis would approach it something like this. In the liturgy, this is the third Marian feast day in the space of 4 days, because the Immaculate Conception got advanced a day, right? It was moved up to December 9th. So December 9th, the big feast, Immaculate Conception, December 10th, Our Lady of Loreto, and then now December 12th, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, a person who is not used to following the life of the liturgy might say, well, this is so redundant. Same woman, after all, right? Same person again and again. Why don't we have some other saints? Why don't we have some more variety? Even the gospel today, we have the option of using as a gospel, the same gospel that we read on Monday. Although I took that's the gospel of the Annunciation. I took the other option and read the gospel of the Visitation. But a person could say, well, let's think about something else. But a person following the liturgy, knowing that the liturgy has this organic quality to it, that it grows from day to day like a plant, you don't say, let's do something else. You say, let's let this plant develop in its natural way, not according to our preferences or how we expect it, but how it does, how it grows. And so here we have this kind of trilogy of Marian feast days, and it's in a very Marian season. The Advent season is Advent and Christmas, very Marian season. Because Mary is the one chosen, the one who was the most prepared for the coming of the Messiah. That's what we celebrated on Monday, that she was the perfect place for this new Adam to come into the creation. Anyway, with these three feasts, we can see a progression as well. Immaculate Conception honors really God's choice of Mary. Mary didn't do anything when she was conceived. She received this protection from sin. So it was a marvel of God choosing someone and choosing her in an extraordinary and unique way. Then in the Feast of Our Lady of Loreto, we focused on her hidden life, her domestic life. Mary, as she was growing up, Mary, as she was living in Nazareth with Joseph and Jesus, a kind of hidden formation period. And then in today's feast, we have Mary in the early 16th century going all the way over to Mexico, which at that time was the edge of the world, the edge of the known world. Who knew what else there was? It was a whole new world. And the Spanish, well, the conquistadors, and then with them the evangelists, went to not only to get the gold, but also to bring God to the new world. We know they weren't making much progress in Mexico, and you can't blame the native peoples for being suspicious of these foreigners coming and imposing this strange religion on them. But Mary went there. And so you have this progression which takes place in the life of every person. Choice or vocation, call, formation, and mission. Sometimes the formation and the mission seem to happen at the same time. When we look at someone like St. Paul, for example, or some of the saints, as soon as they're called, they're sent. But this is a good thing to reflect on. This is how God works in our life. He calls us not because we're worthy or because we've earned it, but simply by the marvel of his own grace. He calls us before we did anything. And then as we learn how to cooperate with him, usually in hidden ways, maybe in our childhood, in our family, in our home life, and ordinary daily life, we learn how to yield to God, how to listen to God, how to follow God. And when it's God's time, he asks us to be his apostles, to be his missionaries, his ambassadors. So that's I think, what the liturgy itself is showing us, different stages in Mary's life. Now, Mary didn't wait for 16 or 15 centuries to become a missionary. She was already a missionary. Well, in this reading I just read, the story about the visitation, she was already bringing into the world the gospel. She didn't have to say the gospel of the Lord. She carried the gospel in her womb, Jesus, newly conceived. And she was his missionary, bringing him into the hill country. Elizabeth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, got it right away. Oh, I'm in the presence of the mother of my Lord. So it's like the beginning of the evangelization, the work of evangelization. Mary, in a sense, is the first missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mary, that doesn't mean that her, what you could call her formation period, was over, because she rose to the extraordinary heights at the Annunciation when she said yes to God. Yes, let your will be done. Let what you say be done. But then she continued to yield herself and continued to grow in faith and in this abandonment of herself in love to God until she gets to the foot of the cross. And there she makes another leap of faith, trusting that God's will is being worked out despite the appearance that it's not being worked out. She says again, let it be done according to your word. And that's when she hears Jesus say, behold your mother, behold your son. And she receives this new role of being not only the mother of Jesus, the Savior, but mother of the whole church. And she, at the on the day of Pentecost, is shown to be the mother of the church. That's where her missionary activity starts to explode, as she guides the early church into its new stages, and that continued. So they say Our Lady of Guadalupe, 1531. It's not that Mary was waiting around from the day of Pentecost up to 1531. She was always active, but in this case, it's another new stage of making known the gospel and of showing that she herself has an essential role in it, in the evangelization of all peoples. You know, I think, what happened after Mary appeared in Guadalupe. There were waves and waves of conversions. The missionaries, the Spanish missionaries, they couldn't keep up with all the requests for baptism. How many people can you baptize in one day? They had thousands and thousands and thousands of conversions because the Mother of the Lord came. The Mother of the Lord came, and the Holy Spirit stirred in the hearts of the native peoples, just like he stirred the heart of Elizabeth, to recognize, oh, who am I that the Mother of my Lord has come to me? This is a special privilege. So that's the image that we venerate today and is venerated in a special way, not only in Mexico, but throughout Latin America and the New World and here in the Philippines as well. Now, I'd like to reflect a little bit on what this image imprinted on St. Juan Diego's cloak or tilma, what it says. It reveals also something about how God wants to make himself known in the world. We know God didn't just appear. He didn't just, with a flash of lightning, solve everything that needed to be solved. No, he constantly chooses human instruments and uses them, invites them to serve him as his ambassadors. So Mary, of course, is the best example. She's the perfect ambassador. But everybody is chosen to have this role. And this is what happens with Juan Diego. He's just an ordinary fellow, right? He's in middle age. He's on his way to Mass. And all of a sudden, Mary calls to him from the hilltop, completely out of the blue. Why choose Juan Diego? Well, because this is how God works. He wants to involve more ambassadors. And then, over the course of the different days and the interaction, Juan Diego trusts this heavenly lady right away. He has a very beautiful, quick faith response. Even though he says, "Who am I? And who should I be the one to go to the bishop? After all, nobody's going to listen to me." But Mary said, "Go," and so he did it. So he's a very beautiful person in his own right. But then, at the end, he gets this image of impressed on him, like a coin. No, it's like embossed on him. That's why I like to wear this vestment on this feast day. You see this one. It's not Our Lady of Guadalupe, but it's something like the tilma, right? It's an image of Our Lady. Like it's pressed right on me. And it makes me an ambassador. Because when you look at this, you say, well, here, this guy is a representative of Mary, and Mary is an ambassador of Jesus. And so there's this chain reaction. When we were doing the Confiteor, we always strike our breast, right? We say, through my fault, through my fault, through my fault. I said, what am I hitting Mary in the head for? Am I hitting her in the head? I said, oh, is that what I do when I sin? Am I like striking Mary in the head? Am I punching the sacred presence? Yes, that is what sin is like, right? It's like a punch against God and against his representatives. Anyway, I have this this sense of being impressed with an image, partly because right after this Mass, I'm going to an ordination of a priest. He's now Reverend James, but in a couple of hours, he'll be Father James, the Somascan. So I'm gonna rush out of here right after the Mass and go to an ordination. And at an ordination, you see this happen. I mean, you have to see it with eyes of faith because he's going to look the same at lunchtime as he looks now at breakfast time. But no, an extraordinary change takes place in an ordination of a man. He is embossed, he's impressed, he's engraved with the character of Jesus so that the priest can really act in Jesus' name. He can really be an ambassador of Jesus in an extraordinary way. So I have this in my mind. I'm going to see this happen. That this grace is going to change this young man and make him into an ambassador. Well, that's something. And I say, this is the pattern that I think we should all know, not only about priests or about St. Juan Diego. St. Juan Diego was not a priest. He's a layman. But this is how God works. He wants to impress on us his image, or in this case, the image of Our Lady, so that we're involved in the work of evangelization. We're part of the mission of the church. And all of us have this by our baptism. If we could see the effect of baptism on people, if we had that kind of vision of faith, we could look around and say, oh, this one's baptized and this one's not, because it'd be something like radiating from the heart, from the soul. So there's an image of God here baptized. Okay, so I think that's a good thing to take with us, not only to turn to Our Lady Guadalupe and ask her intercession, her help in participating in this work of sharing the gospel, but also to be aware that we ourselves are imprinted with Mary's image, Mary who is always carrying and pointing to Jesus, her son, so that every one of us is a little Juan Diego, a little ambassador of Mary, and in that way, an ambassador of Jesus. I think it's a beautiful way to see what we're doing in our ordinary day-to-day life, and what it reminds us of what we have to share. So as we ponder, and I know the pondering groups are here today, the liturgy shows us this feast day shows us this, Mary shows us this, and the whole Christian life is a participation in this mission of the church.